This is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Chadwick. Tool along the strip in Las Vegas, and you cannot miss the massive landmarks, the pyramid at the Luxor, the flashy pink neon of the Flamingo, the faux Eiffel Tower at the Paris. The roots of these roadside beacons stretch back to the fertile mind of one architect, Wayne McAllister, and he is also the man who dreamed up many of Southern California's most famous drinking and dining destinations. NPR's Alex Cohen has more.
Wayne McAllister was born in San Diego in 1907. He dropped out of high school and landed his first job when he was just a teenager, working at a company that drafted plans for Southern California bungalow homes.
We worked so hard and fast on those things that we could put out a set of plans in a day. So I had houses that were built all over San Diego with my one-day plan.
That's from an oral history recorded when Wayne McAllister was nearly 90 years old. He recalls his first big break, designing a hotel, spa, and casino known as Agua Caliente that spanned 655 acres just across the Mexican border in Tijuana. When Agua Caliente opened in 1928, it looked like an elegant cross between a Moorish castle and a Spanish mission. Hollywood stars like Gary Cooper, Bing Crosby, and Clark Gable came to drink and gamble there legally during Prohibition. The hotel even became the inspiration for a Busby Berkeley film called In Caliente.
I'm now beginning to remember where I started to forget.
Good.
Gay and frisky.
Yes.
I had a drink.
Yes.
I passed out.
Yes.
You shanghaied me.
Yes.
And this?
Da-dee-da.
Mexico!
Wayne McAllister built on his success in Mexico and designed nightclubs, resorts, and hotels in Southern California. His specialty was the much classier predecessor of today's fast food drive-thrus, the Circular Drive-In Restaurant, including the chain Bob's Big Boy.
45 for Sarah. Sarah, 45. No Sarah, 45.
I met Chris Nichols, author of a new book called The Leisure Architecture of Wayne McAllister, in front of the Bob's Big Boy in Burbank.
It's been written that Bob's is a concrete crescent that swallows up its stretch of Riverside Drive. It's an angular, modern, post-World War II coffee shop being towered over by this massive, massive neon sign that's like 40-something feet tall. It's set at this curve in the street so you can see it from blocks and blocks and blocks away.
There's also a boomerang-shaped steel awning that once gave shelter to car hop girls who served diners behind their steering wheels. The sharp, angular lines defining the restaurant's exterior contrast with the smooth, curved countertops inside. Of course, when most people think of great architecture, the words coffee shop don't come to mind, but Chris Nichols says it's no small feat to create a place where people want to spend their time and their money.
There's a huge amount of effort that goes into making these things seem easy and comfortable, and you know, you don't know why they're comfortable, you don't know why you like them, but it's because somebody sat over a drafting board and worked it out.
Wayne McAllister's other specialty was creating places with a sense of fantasy, like the Smokehouse Restaurant. Just across the street from Warner Brothers Studios, it's long been a hangout for Hollywood wheelers and dealers. The Smokehouse even looks like a movie set for a film that takes place centuries ago in the European countryside.
It's kind of a country house. It's Tudor. It's English. It's on the LA River. There's pine trees and lots of brick and stone. And it's a place of respite for Warner Brothers people.
And you know who that is walking in right now?
No.
Do you see?
No, who is that?
Redhead, Partridge Family. Fill it in for me.
Is it Bonaducci?
Yeah.
I'll go say hello.
Hollywood's still hanging out here.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yep, child star turned radio host Danny Bonaducci is a regular at the Smokehouse, and so is this guy.
Hello, Gary Owens, reminding you and only you that my hair is on fire.
Gary Owens has worked a lot of gigs in Hollywood, including a regular stint on a 1960s TV comedy.
Now from beautiful downtown Burbank, the fun capital of the San Fernando Valley, it's time for Rowan and Martin's Laugh-In.
Owens told me that the idea for his announcer shtick was born at the Smokehouse in a most unlikely spot.
So here we are in the men's room of the Smokehouse restaurant.
Yes, that's right.
Tell us what happened here.
Well, what happened, George Slaughter and I came at this very sink to wash our hands.
George Slaughter was
George Slaughter, the producer
of Laugh-In.
Of Laugh-In. We've been writing jokes. So we had purple typewriter ribbon on our hands. We went to wash in our hands here. There we are. And I put my hand over my ear like the announcers of the 40s and 50s. And I said, my, the acoustics are good in here. And George said, oh, my God, that's great. You've got to do that every week.
But so that's how it, if it weren't for Wayne McAllister and his design of this men's room and the acoustics, who knows where you would have
been. Thank you, Mr. McAllister.
Among Wayne McAllister's other achievements, the El Rancho Vegas Hotel, the very first resort built on what would later become the Las Vegas Strip. Once again, McAllister used a giant beacon to lure in customers, this time a pink and white neon-trimmed windmill perched on the resort's roof. Writer Chris Nichols.
The El Rancho Vegas would have been the first thing you saw driving in Las Vegas. You would see a pool by the side of the road. You'd see a windmill. I mean, it really must have been like a mirage seeing this crazy thing when you first enter the desert.
McAllister went on to design Vegas's Desert Inn and the Sands Hotel, a regular hangout for the Rat Pack and a locale featured in the original Ocean's 11.
This is our objective, Las Vegas, Nevada. These are the five casinos we hit. Sahara, Riviera, Desert Inn, the Sands, and the Flamingo.
In Vegas, Wayne McAllister also designed the high-rise Fremont Hotel, where Wayne Newton got his start. Keep in mind, he built all of these places, even though his entire architectural education was just a few years of high school drafting classes. Chris Nichols says McAllister benefited from working in an era that was a lot less stringent when it came to things like permits and building codes.
The drive-in plans were outrageously simple. And it's crazy that they let people build things, you know, sort of like anything goes, you know. Now there's 42 layers on top of 42 layers, and it can take years and years to build something. And I think that maybe you squash some of the joy of spontaneity of building something as simple as a little drive-in.
Perhaps Wayne McAllister knew that freedom wouldn't last forever. In 1961, he retired from architecture and went on to pursue other business interests, including ostrich farming and coin-operated copy machines. Wayne McAllister died in 2000, and today few of his buildings remain, but at least one of them should survive for years to come. His Bob's Big Boy is now a California historical landmark. Alex Cohen, NPR News.
Stay tuned in just a moment. NPR's Day Today continues.